but just being patient with them. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Now, if I can think about what I was going to preach. Amen. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, here. I'll find it here in a second. Turn anywhere in your Bible. It's all good. All right, here we go. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Glad you're in church this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
I say, you're glad you're in church this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. The Lord is good. He is good all the time. Amen. That's what that brother said in the mall the other night. He said, the Lord is good all the time. I'll think about after Thanksgiving, what do you preach after Thanksgiving? You know, we talked to him Wednesday night, how what to be thankful for. And last Sunday, I preached on what to be thankful for. And we're in a generation that's unthankful. And I'll tell you what, we ought to be more thankful for what God's done for us and where he brought us from and what he's doing for us on a daily basis. And if you can get have a thankful heart, if you can have a say, Lord, help me to always to be thankful, and no matter what, if you'll make it through this life as a Christian and live for God, and you'll make it. Ephesians chapter 3, it says, for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul the apostle, you know, he was put in prison. And he was taken, and if you read the book of Acts, you read through Acts chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, and Paul's taken prisoner, and he goes, end up in Rome, and we know Paul died in Rome. He was killed in Rome for the Gentiles, for the church of God, and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, he wrote 13 books in the New Testament, 13 books. And man, we got those books today that we can, it's for the church, and we can read them and study. And Ephesians is one of those books, one of the greatest books in the Bible. I love Romans. I love it all. I really do. I love them all. And I know when I first started learning how to read, and I started reading these things, I read them on my own. I got to be able to read it and understand a little bit of it. I got excited about how that the Word of God is so clear and plain. When people start telling me the Bible is complicated and it's too hard to understand, and these and that, I tell them, you don't know what you're talking about, man. I learned how to read by reading this book. And this book is simple in the sense of reading it. It's sixth grade English, fifth or sixth grade English. And when people start telling me how hard it is, I said, man, you got a Bible education. I mean, you got a college education. You're telling me it's hard to read? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. I was just reading about the revisions of the King James Bible. There was four revisions, and some of the in the revisions of the King James Bible, like the 1669 from 1611, they didn't change the text of the Bible. They just updated some words. But the New King James Bible comes along. It's changed 60,000 verses, words, everything, 60,000 to take away from the true meanings of the Word of God. And you got all the new Bibles come along, and there's 30,000, 40,000 changes that take away, and the devil's behind that thing to destroy the Word of God. And he wants to do that. Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Now, we believe in dispensations. Today, you're going to do some turning in your Bible. You're going to do a lot of looking, turning. And it's almost like a Sunday school lesson. But he says, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, the dispensation of the grace of God is where we're at right now. We're in God's dispensation of grace. So how long is that dispensation run? It's going to run a little about 2,000 years. Everything with God is in segments. It's in segments. And 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. And the Lord does that thing. He does it on purpose for, because God is a God of organization. He's a God of, I wish I was more organized. I pray all the time, God, I want to be more organized. I want to have everything organized. I want my shop organized. I want my Bible, my desk organized. And everything I got is unorganized. But God is organized. Yeah. He's got it all together. So how do you know? I mean, you look about the planets and the sky and the stars and the sky and all that stuff. He organized all that and put it in sequence where it wouldn't run into each other. And I mean, the earth turns on its axis. And in wintertime, it leans. The earth leans. And then, you know, you got less days. And that's why in Alaska, they'll have 1 hour a day for light and all that stuff. So God set this whole thing up. and just amazing of what the way he set up. The more you study life and the Bible and you study, you know, nature and all that, you think, how in the world, God, he organized all that. Even the very hair on your head, the cells in your body, everything is organized by God. Everything. And more, and Paul saying, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And God allowed us this day and time to be in a dispensation of grace. And that dispensation of grace is where you can ask the Lord to save you. You don't have to endure to the end. You read Matthew 23, and the Bible says, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. That's in the tribulation period. And that's when people, that's why it's so important to get people saved now, right now. And I mean, I'm not talking about one, two, three, and repeat after me. They probably really didn't get saved. But I mean, to be a witness, to be a light, that's why the battle is on in our lives, to be a light for Jesus Christ. The devil's always trying to put out your light. Always, I mean, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things will try to put out your light and keep you from shining for Jesus Christ so that other men might see the glory of the Father. But the Bible says, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in a few words. I mean, the mysteries. Paul, God gave Paul the understanding of the mysteries of the grace of God. He gave him the mysteries. He was able to understand them. Howbeit by the revelation he made known unto me, verse 3, the mysteries as I wrote afore in few words. And now there's seven mysteries in the Bible. We was going through the seven baptism. There's seven mysteries. There's seven churches. God does things in sevens or three and four and that type combination. But in the Bible talks about mysteries. And I love to read the Bible and see the mysteries that's from the Word of God. One of the mysteries is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We were talking about that in Sunday school, how the Holy Ghost of God is inside you, and he's sealed to the day of redemption. That's a mystery. The Lord did that. He says, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Here you are sitting in 2018, November 25th, 2018, and the Bible says you can know the mysteries from the Word of God. And you're more advanced. This generation is more advanced when it comes to knowing things about the Bible. You're more advanced. I mean, we got everything at our fingertips, and we do less and less and less with it, what we've got. We're doing a lot less than what the forefathers have done. We're doing less. And when we ought to be doing more for Jesus Christ. We ought to be living better for Jesus Christ. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So you're privileged. You're a privileged group of people to be able to make, God says, I made known to the sons of men. That was not revealed in the ages past. So here you are sitting there with a Bible in your hand, where a lot of our forefathers never had a Bible. And there's people in the world that don't have Bibles, still don't have Bibles. And here we are sitting here, and you got a Bible in your hand, and you're unthankful, and you're not appreciative, you're not reading it, you're not studying it, you're not telling other people, spreading the gospel, you're not doing it. Why? Why not? And it says in verse 5, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Now, some of y'all, you say, but what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about being fellow heirs? I mean, the Jews always knew that they were the chosen people. And God, if a Gentile wanted to get in on the kingdom of God and wanted to be sure to go to paradise, he had to be converted to Judaism. He had to go, like you read over in the book of Acts, you find the Ethiopian eunuch going back to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and on the day of Passover to go for a sacrifice. You find those folks coming back to Jerusalem to believe in the one true God. And here you are, we're part of the body of Christ. We're a part. I mean, we got in on something very big. I mean, here we are, Gentile dogs, that the Gentiles should be, verse 6, should be fellow heirs. Notice that it says fellow heirs, not just dogs no more, fellow heirs, and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. And like I said this before, I said, I always didn't like people call me a minister. I wanted to be called preacher. And I like preacher. I like preacher. And people say, hey, there's preacher. But I understand now, when I used to hate that word minister. But I found out a minister, anybody can preach, but not very many people can minister. When you minister to people, that's something that's going to help them. You can preach at somebody, it ain't going to help them. I mean, you can preach, and sometimes preaching will help. The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. But see, God, I'm not against preaching. I'm for it, but I'm for ministering as well. I believe a preacher ought to minister. A pastor ought to minister. He says, where am I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. His power. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I wanted the power of God. I still want the power of God. And you say, what do you mean the power of God? I want the power of God in my life to be able to overcome sin, the past, to overcome bitterness, wrath, clamor, all those things, evil speaking. I want the power of God to be able to overcome that stuff. You say, can a woman have the power of God? Yes, she can. Can a child have the power of God? Yes, they can. I mean, we see that little boy running around the church here. You say, oh, that's foolish. No, man, I tell you what, that's a blessing. When that little boy preaching up here, Brother Eric's little boy preaching, he stirred up some other boys. They want to preach. They want to get up and preach. You say, well, are they called to preach? I believe everybody's called to preach. And give them confidence in standing up and wanting the power of God in their life to overcome sin and things in their life. I mean, that's the greatest thing you could give. You show your child the power of God in their life. You can show them. You say, man, as a parent, you ought to have the power of God to be able to raise your children. You ought to have the power of God to be able to advise your children. You ought to have the power of God. And the power of God, when I first got saved and went to Bible school, I wanted the power of God. And I still want the power of God in my life. He said, what do you mean the power of God? I want to stay clean if I can. Stay as clean as I possibly can. I want my thoughts life to be right. Man, your thought life to get it in check. Because your thought life is crazy. Like I said, I had two men calling me yesterday and weeping and crying on the phone. Why? Their thought life is out of whack. Your thought life will get out of whack. If you don't stay in that book and want the power of God in your life, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereon I've made a minister according to the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am least than the least, I mean, who is less than the least of all saints. Paul putting himself down. He wasn't trying to be, pious. He was telling the truth. He said, I feel like I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Do you ever feel like you're the worst? You're sitting in church? I remember I used to sit in church. I used to look at people and I'd go, man, I'm the worst guy here. I used to look around. I still do. I'm the worst guy here. Man, why in the world, God, have mercy on me? I look around like that. I don't look at nobody and say, I'm better than them. Oh, yeah, I'm better than them. Them little kids, man, I know what those kids are saying. I know. I lived it. When they start talking about stuff. I know. Man, some of y'all have too. He says, when I've made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me and the less than the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make known, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifold wisdom of God. I mean, man, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. You know, over our heads this morning, there's principalities and powers. If God took the veil off your eyes, you'd have a heart attack to see what was out there. What's floating around out there that's against this world. How many of y'all have ever been in the Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., New York, and when you go within the city limits, you feel an oppression? You know what I'm talking about? That's a principalities and powers. Man, hanging around the cities. And the Bible says, even around us, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that thing? It says eternal purpose. God has a purpose. God's just not doing it randomly. God's just not doing what he does without a purpose. We're supposed to have a purpose in our life. The purpose to live. The perfect purpose to give God glory and to see be in his will and serving him. It says, in whom we have boldness. When you're in God's will and you got a purpose in your life, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Be strengthened. The inner man needs to be strengthened by his Spirit. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints. I want to be able to comprehend things. Now, when I read my Bible, I say, Lord, help me understand this. I need to understand. I pray for you to understand, that you'd be able to see things from the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, that you, man, God will open up your understanding, that you might be able to see things and say, okay, God, now I see. It's just like a little child. As they get older, their understanding gets developed, and they start seeing things. They start understanding things. And as the older you get, you start understanding. And God wants you as his child to comprehend, that he may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. To him be glory in the church. I like that. In the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Father, we pray now, Lord, fill us with the power of God. I pray, God, help preach your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, God, that we have the promises. And, Father, the unsearchable riches. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I just want to preach a few minutes to you. I only got a few minutes on the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of us all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches. Man, there's so many. There's so many unsearchable riches. The Bible talks about how much he loved us and how much he cares for us. Now, I want you to look in your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 1. He said, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation is what you're called to do. You have a job to do. Everybody in this room has a job. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We covered that in Sunday school. One God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the verse I want you to see. I want to talk about his unsearchable riches. His peace is past finding out. The Bible says, and unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I mean, man, you think about God's, the measure of his grace. It says the unsearchable riches of Christ. It says without measure. Look what it says, verse 7. On every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that God gives every man a gift. And he gives every man, every woman a gift. And the Bible says he gives you a gift of faith to be able to, man, to be able to comprehend that Jesus Christ died for you and loved you and paid your sin debt. But then the Bible says he gives you grace. I mean, the Bible talks about his grace being without measure, according to the measure of the grace, the gift of Christ. But on every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now on the hint that now that he ascended, what is it that he first descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heaven that he might fill all things, and that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, notice that, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it says, therefore, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. God wants you to grow in grace, the measure of grace. And you folks, I'm telling you, God's grace is, man, magnificent. His grace is unsearchable. I mean, you think about, he gives us grace. So the Bible tells us we got grace to be saved. For by faith, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God. God's given up grace to be saved. What a blessing. The measure of faith, that in measure of grace that he gives. And he's given us that measure. I mean, folks, I don't know. I watch my wife measure out stuff, and she puts, you have to have the right ingredients to put into a cake or into a meal. And she measures that thing out. And God knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how to give, how much measure he's going to give you. At the time you need it, he gives it to you right at that time. I mean, that's the way he is. It says the unsearchable riches of Christ. It says he gives on every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I mean, he gives that measure just right to be able to make the thing turn out right. I mean, what a God we have. When the Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, man, what a thing when God's able to give us grace and without measure. And you know what he told Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you need, and he'll give you what you have need of at the very time you need it. And what you got to do is trust him. Man, don't go trying to find some other to comfort you other than God. I mean, man, you need to find the Lord and say, Lord, I need grace right now. He gives you living grace. He'll give you dying grace. I mean, he'll give you grace when it's needed in your life. Boy, if you trust him. I mean, what a God. We're unsearchable, Paul said. He says, unto me, who is the less and the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of grace. Man, what a God we serve. I'll tell you something else. Take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm about to lose my voice. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 15, I believe it is. They're talking about unsearchable riches of his grace. Boy, what a God. I mean, we talk about the mysteries, and God allows us to realize and study in the Word of God. We see the mysteries that he's given in the Word of God. But he gives every man a measure of what you need when you need it. He'll give you the measure of grace. But he also give you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 15. And back up to verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. First Corinthians, I'm sorry. I'm reading the thing. I'm thinking, how's this fitting in there? How's this fitting in there? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Back up to verse 11. It says this. I was going to make it fit. Amen. I was going to make that fit. It says, verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of his service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God, while by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your profession, subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, that by their prayer for you, which God long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unsearchable gift. Talking about the unsearchable gift of the grace of God. And that's what it is, the thankful for the unsearchable riches of God. Now, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm trying to read all these things, and I'm in the wrong place all the time. Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans 8. Romans 8, and look at verse 30. Romans 8, verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Talking about unsearchable riches of Christ. Romans 8, 35. His love, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When the Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, I mean, how in the world and why in the world and that God would love us and care for us. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, God loved a dirty thing. The Bible says, how can you take a clean thing out of an unclean thing? And the Bible says, all our righteousness are not but filthy rags in the sight of God. I mean, God loved us. He loved us. You talking about unsearchable. Oh, man, how in the world? Why? Why would God love us when we turn our back on him? When we spit in his face, when we mock him, when we make fun of him. I know before I was saved, I made fun of the Lord. I made fun of God and his word. I made fun of everything about God. And God still had mercy on me. God still had allowed me to experience his love. What unsearchable riches that is. Man, the love of God. I'll never forget Rex Harrison singing that song, "Oh, Love of God." How great, how pure, how measureless. And man, I tell you what, that song would get a hold of my heart thinking about God's mercy towards me and God's love towards me. It's, boy, what a great God we serve this morning. After Thanksgiving, it talks about being thankful, being merciful, God's being merciful to us and having mercy on us. And boy, and when Paul said, I'm the less of the least of all saints of this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Here's a mystery. Why would God love us? Why would God care? He said, why? We're his creation. He created us. He created us and allowed his son to come down. And then when man sinned against him and turned their back on him and he was kicked out of the garden, God allowed his son to take that whipping and take that judgment, the judgment of God. We were talking about that this morning. Jesus said this. He said, the disciples said to him, James and John said, Lord, we want to sit on your right hand. We want to sit on your left. He said, are you able to drink from the cup that I'm going to drink of? Are you going to be able to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? And they said, yeah, we can. And they were. Man, they Jesus Christ was beaten and mocked and persecuted, made fun of. The whole world turned their back on him. And the Bible says at midday, 12 o'clock, God, the darkness was over the face of the whole earth from 12 to 3. Man, God, he said, then Jesus cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Why? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Hard to figure it out. Hard to figure out why he loved us. Why his grace is sufficient for us. Why he gives us grace on a daily basis. Sometimes you ever ride down the road and say, Lord, why do you put up with us? Why do you care about us? It's unsearchable. One day we're going to get to heaven. We're going to sit down with him, and he's going to explain. He'll tell you why. I mean, brother, he gives us joy and peace and comfort. Boy, the unsearchable riches of Christ. How in the world can a man have joy in the middle of a trial, in the middle of storms in their life, and still have joy down deep inside? The world says that's crazy. How can you have that joy? The Bible talks about being joyful in tribulation and trials. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, the unsearchable riches of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But look back up, look at verse 4. It says, to the inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You're going through something right now? If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. I mean, folks, talking about the power of God in your life, whom having not seen, I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've never seen God. Knowing that he gives me grace to live. He gives me grace to love him. Gives me grace to love other people. The unsearchable riches of Christ. He gives me love on a daily basis. I feel his presence. You should feel his presence as well. It's with beyond measure. Beyond measure. Then it says, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. When the Bible talks about, when Paul wrote down, he said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. How in the world could you have joy in the middle of a storm? Through Jesus Christ. What a God. Amen. We forget all the benefits. The Bible says he loadeth us daily with benefits. The unsearchable riches of Christ. What joy we have. The greatness, and his greatness is infinite. You say, what do you mean? His greatness is infinite. It means without measure, without bounds. His grace is unmeasurable. Unmeasurable. 145, Psalms 145. Look what it says. When Paul wrote down, those things were hid in ages past. And now being revealed in this last time, the unsearchable riches of Christ. We Gentiles don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve. You said, if you think you deserve something, my God, man, I feel for you. We deserve to be in hell with our back broken, eyes scratched out. But unsearchable. Where it says it was hid in ages past. They didn't know nothing about that. And here you are sitting in the 21st century, 2018. And you look at the mysteries of the Bible. You can read it. You can see it. You experience it. Look at Psalm 145. Look at verse 3. Back up verse 1. I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day while I bless thee, I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. You know, I realize once you start getting a glimpse of heaven, you start getting a glimpse of and knowing how much mercy and how much grace that he distributes to each and every one of us, how much love he's shown to us, and how our hearts are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, and he still has mercy on us. You start going, man, God, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Why? But thank you. Thank you. It starts making you more appreciative. The unsearchable riches of Christ. It says, then it says, one generation shall praise thy works to another. And they, you know what? I've always wanted my children to see me praising him. I always wanted them to be around where God's being praised. I want Jesus Christ to be loved. You know what he said? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If you'll lift him up in your life, he'll draw all men to him. I wanted my children to see. I want my grandkids to see that. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I want them to experience it. I mean the love of God, the grace of God, the measure of grace that he gives when you need it. to make it turn out right. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. It'll work out. I got confidence in him. Amen. I got confidence in him. It'll work out. It says, to one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. I mean, man, you look at thunder, and when it starts thundering, you go, wow. You look at the rain. You look at all the things, the snow. The Bible talks about there's treasures in the snow. You look at, man, just what the creation of God. And you go, my, what unsearchable riches. How animals, the things they do. The unsearchable riches of God. God created all things. It says, all men shall speak of the mighty and thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Notice that. All that fall, and raise up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. I mean, brother, sisters, God's unsearchable riches that he's bestowed upon his children. I'm reading over there when I first got saved. I'm reading about John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God. His name was John. And I go on down there and come down to verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. I mean, unsearchable riches of his grace. He said, well, God's supposed to do that. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. People accuse God of being unjust. They accuse God of doing wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. God never does wrong. He'll never do you wrong. His judgments, the Bible says, are unsearchable. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 11. And we'll stop with this. Romans chapter 11, his judgments. I mean, when God does something, even when God judges me for something in my life, and he judges the world, if he's going to judge the world, he's going to judge it in righteousness. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Back up to verse 30. So as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, talking about the Gentiles, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. The Bible says that there's seven judgments in the Bible, and it says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom his be glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, brothers and sisters, his unsearchable riches. I mean, his judgment's unsearchable. Boy, and when God judges something, he judges right. We're talking about these judges. You see it on news. This judge is a circuit court judge, this judge, that judge. I mean, even the Supreme Court judges, they're just men. But they'll judge things according to their own prejudice. They'll judge things. They say, well, we're going to judge according to law. I hope they do. But a lot of times they'll judge things according to their own prejudice. But you know, when it comes to God, he judges righteous judgment. Amen. Righteous judgment. And I'm going to tell you something. His riches, the riches of his unsearchable, of Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, every day I live, I thank him for his goodness upon me. The Bible talks about himself being past finding out. But you know what? When you read this book, that's in the book of Job. But when you read this book, you find out more about his nature. You find out more about his character. You find out more about his love. Man, I read all the way through there for the church, for us that are saved, talking about his love. You're talking about unsearchable. Wow. I'm just glad I'm a recipient of the love of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm a recipient of the grace of God. I'm glad I'm a recipient of the mercy of God. Unsearchable riches of Christ. When we got in Jesus Christ, when you got saved, you got the whole bundle caboodle of everything, his mercy, his promises, everything. You got it all. What God wants you to do is love him back. He wants you to tell him you love him. He wants you to show him that you love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. You know, you can't make people love God. You can't make people do what's right. But I found this, if a person loves God, if a person gets a hold of that, the mercy of God, you don't have to worry about them. They'll do what's right, no matter what. They'll love God. They'll tell other people about Jesus Christ. Why? They've experienced some of the unsearchable riches. They're recipients of it. How about you? If you're not saved here this morning, I'll tell you what, you can get in on this. This is not, nobody's excluded. Jew or Gentile, black, white, red, yellow, makes no difference. You can get in and be a recipient of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Man, we got in on something pretty big, folks.
Amen.
When God showed his love towards us, my. When God had mercy on us, and boy, I tell you, when he gives you grace in the middle of trials, what a God. You know why? You're his child. You belong to him. If you can get that mindset, I'm a child of the King. That's my father. We sing that song, my father is rich in houses and land. He's my father. Through Jesus Christ, we became God's children. Through Jesus Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. How in the world? Wow. I'm just glad it's true. I'm glad. Aren't you?
Amen.
Father, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. Here it was, Thanksgiving, Lord. And that little girl said, all they did was watch TV. And Lord, I pray help that little girl's family get saved. My Father, move in their home, in their lives. My Father, we want to see everybody come to know the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just have that.